What's up, guys? It's Cody here, and before we kick off the show, I want to talk real quick about our sponsor, Trojan Brand Condoms, the number one most trusted condom brand. Can you believe this is true? 70% of men don't even know that different condom shapes exist. So it makes sense that those same guys have issues with condoms because the wrong fit can make them super uncomfortable. You ever try to put the wrong cap on a pen? It doesn't work. Or you end up with ink everywhere. That's where Trojan saves the day, with over 30 different varieties of condoms to choose from, offering the right fit for the right guy. Trojan also has a whole range of pleasure-enhancing products like lubes and vibes, that's what they call vibrators, I just learned that, that'll unleash your sexual confidence. But we can get to those later. In the meantime, pick up a box of Trojan condoms wherever you get your condoms, and of course, enjoy the show. You don't have to have a condom on now to listen to the show, by the way, just, you know, if you have sex.
All right, what's up? Welcome to Cody's iHeart Show.
No, don't you start it. I was joking about that. This is my show.
Okay, all right. I won't start it. Go ahead.
My job.
All right, start your show. Go ahead.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, three, right, two.
Shh. Don't say a word. Okay.
Hey, man, you having trouble with life? Well, let me give you some advice.
Hey, what's up? I'm Cody Ko, and welcome to The Pleasure Is Ours, the podcast in which we examine some of the worst advice people hear their whole lives and try to make it better. They say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And you know what I think? Anyone who really feels that way can suck my balls and my knife, and he's also a and I think actually that they're the scum of the earth and that they don't deserve anybody's respect.
Damn.
What do you think of that? What do you think about that?
Kindergarten teachers everywhere are like, well, all right. I don't know what I did to you.
Today,
I'm most certainly not sucking your balls, sir.
I almost just said something really bad, but today I'm joined by my compadre. He's a rapper, songwriter, podcaster, producer, streamer, and director. You know him as one half of the musical supergroup Tiny Meat Gang and the award-winning Tiny Meat Gang podcast.
Yeah.
At this point, I feel like I'm just plugging my own stuff and it feels a little bit weird. He's the forest fire to my gender reveal. He's the white to my claw. I'm talking, of course, about Noel Miller. Noel, how are you?
I'm good, dude. How are you? I'm so glad I could be the fire to your gender reveal.
it's been a while since we sat down and talked to each other on microphones. When was the last time we did this?
18 hours ago.
You just can't keep us away from the mics.
I know. We just can't stop.
Listen, we've told this story before, but essentially we got into making music as TMG together because of... you know, me making fun of a Jake Paul song, right? Or JP, whatever. He who must not be named. Voldemort, whatever you want to call him. And we were inspired to try to make something better, which we definitely did with Keep Your Dick Fat. I mean...
Oh, brother.
Basically, our entire careers, you know, as TMG were affected positively as the direct result of throwing shade at someone. Is that a perfect example of why this is bad advice? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
I mean, I would say so. I feel if there was ever a time to get paid or be someone in the world for saying not nice things, it's definitely right now.
Why do you say that?
That's half of YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have $5,000 worth of equipment in here so I can get on stream 3 times a week and be like, I don't like shit.
But there is a positive way to do it.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people that talk shit in really mean ways.
That's true. Like me.
like you. No, you know what? Like, I just feel like when you stumble on commentary channels, people that almost like idolize people like Leafy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so they try to mimic that style, but it's a lot of that is just straight up bullying and shitty.
Yeah, you know, I actually have an example for this. So... for a minute, you know, I was watching a lot of those TLC segments and I was watching one about a polyamorous couple.
Right.
And I tweeted a link to the stream highlight. You know, I clowned it on stream and then, okay, yeah, here's the highlight of what I did. And then some YouTuber starts quote tweeting it and says, you guys better go after Noel as hard as you went after me. And I said, And I went and watched what he did and what he did, there was no humor. It was just him hating people. And I don't know where people get that messed up. Like, no, 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 bro. When I was making jokes. You know, I wasn't telling these people they should go not exist and they're stupid and shit like that. And I don't know.
Is it not weird that that shit still gets views, though? Like, who's watching that shit? People like watching that. People like watching people just be straight up mean.
Yeah, I'm not even going to generalize who watches that, but there's definitely an audience for that. Some people love that shit. Is that the same as like watching reality TV? You know?
No.
You like watching people be shitty and it makes you feel good about yourself?
I think people watch that shit because it's like, there's this weird, like, yeah, you're saying what I want to say.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I was going to say, like, I feel with That's Cringe, a series which we haven't done in a year now.
Because I think for this reason, though, you know, we had fun with it and we were just fucking around. And a lot of the times what I feel like we were doing was we were just kind of, you know, generating little micro sketches out of whatever was going on. You know, it was never really targeted at that person, you know. And then we ended up meeting all those people and I don't know. I almost feel we've hit this point now where I feel like we definitely got an element of people being like, go harder. You know, like when we met with Kriya Tyler and people were like, oh, why didn't you fucking tear him apart? And I feel like it kind of hit this point where people were starting to miss like, no, man, it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be like tongue in cheek. It's not supposed to fucking make people hate themselves.
But it also, if I was like 22, 23, maybe I would have.
Yeah.
I feel like it also comes with getting a little bit older where you start to just, things just start to get harder and shit like that. And you're like, damn, I used to be a dick and I kind of don't want to bring that much negativity into the world. Forgive me for using that fucking cliched phrase, bringing negativity into the world. I feel like that's what all the Instagram comedians would harp on like 5 years ago. Yeah, negativity, man. No more of that shit. But I'm saying, do you know what I mean? A little bit like once you're a little bit older, it's like, hey, I want to like create something lasting.
Yeah.
And truly, if you're just ripping on something for 45 minutes straight, like in a super harsh way, there's not going to be a lot of opportunities that come from that.
Well, I mean, you know, you'll go back and watch that and be like, damn, was I okay? Someone should have checked in on me. I was fucking upset. But also I feel now, Like you look at TikTokers and stuff, like how they generate beef and they almost call that attention on themselves. Like the fact the internet makes people closer, it just makes you think twice about shit. Like you're like, damn, that dude's a person. And if I say too much, people are just gonna fucking be all in his comments saying a bunch of horrible shit.
Yeah.
It's not even like bringing negativity into the world. It's like you might just make someone by themselves a target of some shit that you didn't even plan for because people do that all the time with humor. Like, you could tell a joke and people want to make it mean.
I know. That's so true. Dude, I went to the fucking You Girls, Claire. I went to her YouTube channel recently looked at her comments and it's still plagued with memes from the cringe. I'm like, dude, she doesn't even have a chance to like recover her channel.
Yeah.
What's she going to do? Go to the fucking comment filter and just put in all the memes from That's Cringe? I guess she could do that. But Claire, if you're listening, I'd probably do that. But I still think we didn't go that hard on Girl Define.
No.
I think we went the hardest on them. I don't think that we went.
No, we kept it.
We went the hardest on them because we did, first of all, we did two. And second of all, we really went in on their lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Which is, and their beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty brutal, all things considered, if you're the receiver of that. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but you believe some pretty fucking weird things, you know?
That part I don't feel badly about because they're used to where they're at and where they live. Like, that might be kosher or their circle, their bubble. But we just challenged that a little bit. And that I don't feel badly about because if you're going to put shit like that out on the internet, you've just opened the door. If you come on the internet expecting to be like, you can't say mean things about me. He's like, no, this is for everyone.
Yeah. I also feel like YouTube totally rewards this style of content. Also drama, talking shit, diss tracks, all that shit. Why is that like the bread and butter of YouTube? Is it because people love it or is it because it must be because the algorithm only favors shit that people recommend and watch. So it has to be, right?
It's like I've said before, you know, people watching The Bachelorette and watching Leafy drama and Ethan and Trisha get into it. I don't ever want to hear you guys talking shit about wrestling because that is the same thing, okay? It's the same thing. I think people just enjoy that shit. We enjoy conflict. I think it's because we're so far into modern society. Here we go. Big brain take.
Big brain.
We're so deep into modern society that we need these things because we don't experience them anymore like we used to. You know, like if we were in like a tribe or some shit, we'd probably be arguing or getting out that aggression regularly. You know what I mean?
By literally fighting.
Or literally fighting, you know, or did you shit on my bear rug? Like that kind of, you know, whatever. Did you eat my berries? But we don't get that anymore. So now we crave it from reality TV. You know, that's the whole point of haunted houses. As a human race in America, we haven't been scared. Maybe recently we've been more scared.
Yeah, recently. The whole fucking country's a haunted house at this point.
Okay, all right, fair. But, you know, maybe, you know, people in the suburbs, you know, they haven't been scared in a while. So, yeah, you know, that's why they like haunted houses. Yeah. Like the movie The Purge came out.
That's why they love The Purge.
Yeah, dude, when The Purge came out, everyone in the suburbs was like, oh my God, could you imagine if?
Like, you wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it either. But what if?
And for the last year, there's fucking four of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, The Purge is the Fast and Furious of conflict porn. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean? Like, no one in the suburbs watched that and was like, oh my God, that's fucking hot. You know?
Like they watched it like this.
Yeah.
Just eyes wide, smiling.
Kind of wishing.
Hey, hon, you see that?
Kind of wishing. They're like, this is fucked, but if it could happen?
I know, what if, though?
I'm just saying the gun case is very close to the bedroom, and I'm very fast.
Yeah, talking about techniques and stuff they use. Like, I would never do it, but I'm saying if it did happen, I'd probably first go for Gary, because he sucks. We all hate Gary in the neighborhood. And then I'd hit my accountant's house, because he's been stealing from me.
Yeah, well, so coming back to fucking talking shit, I don't know, man. I think it's like an innate thing. I think
people want to be on a team.
Yeah, definitely.
Without actually doing anything.
Oh, yeah.
So you're watching drama online, or you're watching somebody tear apart someone else, and you're like, yeah, I'm on the home team. I'm on this guy's team because I think like him and we're both smart. But I'm not saying shit. I'm just agreeing with what he's saying. And then people are like, yeah, they feel like they're fucking part of it, you know? I get the same feeling when I watch some shit like that too. Or when I watch people fighting on reality TV, I'm like, clearly this person's right because I think like him and I'm always right and I'm smart. And so this guy's smart. And so we together are smart and we're a team and I'm on his team.
Yeah, I definitely think there's like that feel-good element. You can't deny watching someone get owned, it just feels so good. That's why the Karen shit is so awesome. People love that, you know?
Yeah.
People
love
Karen videos because it's the same thing. You're like, fucking get that dumbass, dude. Get him. It's the same. I almost feel it's a pendulum. I've heard old comics basically say, like, they've watched this shit happen over and over where there's someone who comes out and just is like fucking flagrant. They disregard the rules and they're just mean and they're just assholes. And people like that for a while and then it gets burned. And then people say, maybe we shouldn't say mean stuff like that. And then it goes the other way. And then it just keeps, you know, it's this constant.
Oh, that's a good insight.
So we'll probably enter this period where we're like, man, we need to like look at ourselves and stuff, right? And then after we've reflected for a while, I guarantee we're going to go back to being pieces of shit and we're going to, you know,
yeah,
that's like going to therapy. You know, you spend an hour, you're like, I care about me. And then you'll walk right out and start road raging and cussing people out.
At the risk, again, of sounding like fucking Gary Vee or someone like that. There is something to be said about how positivity, or at least not being super negative and bullying and, you know, like refreshingly honest, I guess. I feel like that has a shorter lifespan than someone who, you know, positivity is not the right word, but you think of people like Obama or someone like Keanu Reeves, for example. They just make good decisions and been respectful their whole lives, and they'll just have a legacy forever because of that.
I mean, bro, I feel even within our own careers, I feel like we've seen this, you know, not to name whoever, we've seen those people who are who stir shit up, you know, we just see it. We see like, okay, this dude's going to be popping for a little bit. And then once that's over, Now what happens? There's so many people, I feel like we've seen that too, that are peers and maybe like closely related. And I feel like, yeah, what you're saying is there is a longevity to just fucking thinking a little bit before you say some shit. And I think people really respect, even if like if you're trying to be entertaining, if you hit a point where you're like, hey man, we probably shouldn't do this. Like, this is a person, you know, we should like respect this individual. I think people gravitate towards that because it, do you ever like feel guilt when you watch someone like be a piece of shit, or if like you get too involved, like you watch something, you get too opinionated about it, then you sober up from that. You're like, damn, why did I care so much?
Oh yeah, totally.
So I feel like that makes people trust you a little bit more too. When they're watching your shit, they're going to go, I can watch this and know that I'm not going to be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
After I consume this media.
That being said though, there is a right way to being negative and to like making, and we've gotten it wrong, we've gotten it right.
Yeah.
Definitely. But you got to think about all the great shit that's come out of the stuff that we've done, like meeting with GT Dave and meeting with Darman and meeting with these people that embrace it.
Yeah.
Because they realize there's no malicious intent here. It's just all fun. And so I might as well embrace it. And then something fucking beautiful happens afterwards. So there's a lot of good that can come from negativity as long as you do it in the right way.
Absolutely. No, I you know, I'm not sitting here saying, because I hate positivity in general, or at least when it's overwhelming. I hate when people try to pretend that the world's okay because it's not.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel there needs to be a balancing act. Like for every person who's on the timeline, on Twitter or on Instagram trying to spread positivity, we need to do our part and be equally as negative.
You know? Yeah, there we go.
We just do it the right way. So then when we meet those people, it's like, oh my God, the world is a good place because these two people can come together. You know, you're setting an example.
It's like a long play. It's like negative in the short term so you can provide positivity in the long term.
Yeah.
We're planting seeds of positivity in the world.
Yeah.
I was, I don't know if I told you this, but when I was on Tom Segura's podcast, because he also met with Darman. Did I tell you this?
Yeah. No.
Okay, so Tom basically texted him and said, I want to make my own version of one of your sketches.
Nice.
And Dar was like, okay, I guess. Didn't really know what Tom was going for, right? And then Tom made this sketch of this guy. He showed it to me on the podcast. It's like this, done in the exact same style, about this dude that tries to audition for a modeling agency, but he's like super fat. And so they're like, no, you're basically the guy at the door is like, you absolutely cannot do this. You're fat as hell. Look at all these guys. They have rippling six packs and you can't come in basically. And so the guy just then works construction for the rest of his life. And then that's the end of the thing. It's like,
damn,
it's like, maybe you can't do your dreams. Right. So I'm watching this and I'm laughing because it's really funny. It's just such an extreme parody of Darman, like it's the complete opposite, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just not inspirational at all. And then it cuts to Dar standing there and he goes, what's up, Darman fam? I just want to let you know how awful this message is and how, and so he goes on about how shitty the message is and how you should never trust anything Tom and Christina say and how like this probably will ruin lives instead of make them better like he usually does.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking awesome, man. The fact that he was willing to do that and to like, you know, keep, I guess, progress the joke even more.
Yeah.
But be in on it still. It's fucking awesome.
You see? But you can't have that if you're not negative.
Exactly.
Huh? Do you know how much I helped the Mormon Bachelor kids? I'm just going to fully own that. No one was watching that series. And I got on and I'm like, look at these fucking bozos. And they're on season three. They had season two and three sponsored by apps.
It was
all
really?
Over the place. Yeah.
What's the most shit that has ever been talked on you? Do you remember? Do you remember that moment?
You know, I had a friend group that just straight up excommunicated my ass. It was like a weird thing where it was like high school. It was like early, like freshman year. So it was super, super juvenile shit. But it was like a really cliquey group. And we all went to the movies.
Okay. Nice.
We walk out of the movie. I had seen some of these other friends I had made. And I was like talking and hanging out with them. And then I saw the main group I was with leaving. I was like, all right, I'll see you guys later, man. And I start to walk with the main group. And they're all getting in a car. I was like, oh, we're going somewhere? And they're like, oh, we're going somewhere. I was like, oh.
Damn. What, that's the last time you talked to them?
I mean, after that, I was like, I'm good. Like, I got it. We're done here.
And they're all like, what? Why are you talking with us, man?
So I can assume that group had a lot of shit to say about me, but it was, after that, I was like, nah, we're out of here.
That whole car ride back probably just ripping on you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's what race even is he? I don't understand. It's like half everything.
And they held on to that. Years later, you know, I'd be like, hey, what's up? And I don't give a shit about it. And some of them were so petty, they quadrupled down. 4 years later, they was like, nah, man, you wasn't a good friend to us.
What?
They're like, you know that, right?
Like, shut
one
up.
One of them actually said that to me. This girl said that to me. She's like, you know that, right? You know that. I was like, huh? I was 14, bitch.
Was anyone a good friend in high school? No.
I don't think. Yeah, no, I don't.
Everyone is a piece of shit when they're 14. Who is a good friend at 14? Tell me that.
Nerds?
Tell me you wouldn't fuck your best friend's girlfriend at 14. Everyone would. Everybody would do it. You kidding me? Horniness at 14, that outweighs any sort of moral code you'd have towards people in your life.
That's going to be the next reality show, man. 14-year-olds just being pieces of shit. Just fucking, yeah, so I made out with my best friend's sister. I don't care. We have fucking biology together. I don't give a fuck.
That's what Laguna Beach was, wasn't it? Weren't they like 16?
Yeah, that's all reality shows. They're just trying to capture those who didn't age past 14.
Yeah, yeah. You still have mental cognition and horniness of a 14-year-old. So why'd you fuck your best friend's girl? Just was super horny. Hadn't busted a nut in like a week.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's the most shit that's ever been talked about me, because it was a decent sized group of people. So,
and if you guys are listening right now, fuck you.
They wouldn't even. They're still talking shit. I can't believe you got a dumbass show. You know, it's like he over here talking about a good friend. He wasn't even a good friend to us. How the fuck is he?
So what? We're sponsored by Trojan now, bitch. How about that?
Speaking of getting fucked.
I'm getting a lot of shit talked about me right now with the long hair.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying I look like Wayne from Wayne's World, which I 100% do.
I could definitely see it.
Or Lord Farquaad, which also kind of sucks.
Yeah, you're like Apollo Ono if he wasn't good looking.
Okay.
Said to hit you with that one.
Word. Okay, cool. Maybe I should grow a little soul patch. Maybe that would help.
Bro, I'm looking at a picture of Apollo Ono. God damn it, dude. Actually, I'm not going to lie. This is like if me and you did a fusion dance.
Let's see. Yeah, and it really is.
Good genes. People send us a lot of, like, they tag us with a lot of people that are like, this is like you and Cody if you had a kid. No, this fool is me and Cody as one person.
It really is, especially
this
now
is
with the hair.
This is fucked up, man.
This is fucked up, dude. I hate looking at this.
This is fucking
dude.
Weird.
What's with this? The soul patch is like overwhelmingly bad. It looks like hairy Nutella.
I've seen porns with that same patch, man.
Yeah.
That is...
Yeah, that's rough. and not on the face, you know what I'm saying? This just straight looks like pubes.
Bro, with that soul patch, this one, the one of him in the blue shirt, if you just type his name on Google, are you looking at this one as IMDb? What is IMDb?
Yeah, okay, wait. Hold on.
Dude, I think if you were drunk enough and you just saw him like sitting on a couch, like you might try to go down on his face. Like... I think you'd be that confused.
Yep. Oh, that's a racing stripe. That fully is. That's a pubic bush right there.
That's a landing strip, my guy.
Like, why is it?
You definitely just might
You start making out with him. His lips. He's like, what are you doing? You're like, why is your pussy talking?
Why'd you get rid of the soul patch, Apollo? Too many guys kept trying to eat me out. It was fucked up.
Oh man, speaking of not saying anything nice.
Anyway, what positivity?
So what were you saying about not bullying and being positive? Speaking of negging, do you think negging has ever worked to find a new mate?
Yeah.
You think so? Yeah. You've read the game, my friend.
I mean, not like the overt pickup artist shit.
You remember Mystery? Shit worked for him.
Okay, I shouldn't say the textbook definition of negging. I don't, maybe it's worked in like a fucked up context. I know me personally, I have used making fun of someone as a way of charm. You know, I've definitely used that.
But again, you have to do it in the right way.
Yeah, you just have to keep it playful.
Yeah.
You don't make them feel like shit, but you know, my concept of that is like, oh, is this a date? I guess that's what you want to call it. And you wore that? Oh,
nice.
My God. What
yeah,
the fuck?
Yeah.
So I'm kidding.
Let me try.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This is a date, right? Yeah, I would hope so. Okay, well, then what's with the pit stains, you sick fuck? No? Not good?
Try again.
Okay. This is a date, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. You didn't want to shave your legs?
That's it. I actually think that could work. You must like me, huh? You left the stubble on. What the fuck? Damn, your calf has a better beard than I do. That's crazy.
Nice.
I'm 14 years old. I'd be curious to know. Put out a survey, folks. Has negging ever got you? That's got to feel terrible if someone... He does that to you and you wake up in their bed. You're like, did this fool really clown me into this?
Yeah, but that's what you like. I mean, dudes like that too. When a girl throws it back
true.
At you.
Yeah, definitely. I love. Yeah. Figuratively and literally.
Yeah. When girls. Yeah, yeah. You're like, it's nice to stain. She's like, you probably have a small dick. And you're like,
I'm like,
ah,
I
man,
love you.
Love
wow.
This. I love this. That's good.
I love
this. Get home.
I'll talk to you. I want to be toxic with you.
What about in the terms of being in a relationship? Do you think being honest is better or do you think being nice is better? I never really know how to like be honest without like sugarcoating it, or I just feel like if I'm honest, I'm just like brutally honest and then it makes everything worse, you know?
Listen, you have to be honest.
Yeah,
you have to be from the outset. You mm-hmm. have to be. Just set the boundaries early. And even if somebody doesn't like it, that's good because you're protecting you. So you have to be honest. Definitely don't be nice. No one likes nice, you know? I don't like nice. Oh my God, your dick is so... Don't be nice to me.
Yeah. It's the biggest
I know I'm not even in the top 10 pound for pound in your ladder, okay? Just don't be nice to me, all right? I'm ranked 12. I'm outside the bracket. I get it, okay? Be honest.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay, so what about, you know, like a question like, you know, how do I look in this dress? Or do you like...
I can say since day one... I'm always brutally honest about clothing, especially like in a relationship, at least with Alina, right?
Yeah.
As long as we've been dating, if we like go shopping or she goes buying shit and she's like, what do you think about this shirt? I've never held back on that looks like doo-doo.
Yeah, but so you say it like that. You're going to go, oh, maybe another one will
no.
be cool.
No.
You're just like.
I'm like, that shirt's trash. The cut's weird. You should find another one.
Yeah, but what if that's you? I guess they're asking for your opinion, so you're just giving your opinion, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to take it.
I'm looking out for her. I try to, you know, I don't just say, no, I don't like it. I try to qualify it, you know? She says, hey, how do I look in this dress? I say, the cut's strange. It's not flattering to this part of your body. It makes it seem like this. I don't like it because it's not showing that you got a big old dumper underneath there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
It's like a backhanded compliment because at first it's like, what the, this is so,
It's like an insult cake, right?
Yeah.
Layers of mm-hmm. honesty and insults and then with a little icing on top. You
yeah.
got a big old
yeah, you make
dumper.
It sweet right at the end. I love that big dumper. That's
and
your.
And then everything else. She's like, oh.
She's flattered. Like, oh my God. And he,
I don't like this dress either anymore.
Yeah. And I'm promoting her showing the dumper. Come on.
Okay, nice.
Come on.
Okay, guys, I think we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, Noel and I are going to punch up this shitty advice for you guys.
Oh, man.
You know, dude, as guys, we talk a lot about male pleasure all the time, right? But let's switch things up and let's talk about female pleasure. Have you ever been stressed over pleasing a woman?
Yeah. always. I just have this like reputation that precedes me, you know. They're like, I heard you're so amazing. And living up to that is just so tough, you know.
Is it? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a big time?
Yeah, just, you know, sure. Being like top 10.
Definitely.
In the history of man. It's...
I gotta tell you, this might be really relevant to you because I think you're lying, okay?
Okay.
I want to talk to you about Willa. It's a new line of products by Trojan Brand Condoms.
Okay.
It was created for those who make pleasure a priority, which is apparently you, but I don't really believe that.
No, it is. It's absolutely a priority.
It's a line of stuff that's focused on women's pleasure, like the Willa ribbed condom, designed with deep grooves to increase pleasure, or the Willa thin condom, made with ultra-thin latex for a more natural feel. You know, the ribbed one is interesting to me because traditionally look at that and think, how is this going to benefit me? Really, it's for her, which sex, I guess, is also for her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's crazy that sex is for... two people.
It's two people, yeah.
No, I think what's great is if they feel like riding a roller coaster, they can do that. If they want a more sensual skin-to-skin experience, you can go thin. I want her to have the option is what I'm saying. She has to be the one comfortable. It's not really about you. You could be so uncomfortable. That's fine. You know,
you're still probably going to bust.
But yeah, men can bust under all conditions.
All conditions, man. You can be in a...
She could be holding a gun to my head. I could still make it happen.
Yeah, you could be in a standing freezer, like in a restaurant, and still do it. And they also have lube, too. The Willa Lube, which is water-based. It feels silky smooth, and it's infused with vitamin E.
Wow.
Or you can go ahead and use the Vibe, which is a precision tip vibrator that has 3 speeds. It comes with batteries and it's ready to go. No charging needed.
Nice. Yeah, that's the worst when you're fumbling with the vibrator and it's like, beep, beep, battery low. Oh, guess no one's going to have fun tonight.
To the ladies out there, give Willa a shot and see how pleasurable sex can be. And to the guys, give your sexual confidence a boost with Willa, knowing you have the best tools to please. How do you feel about this entire line of products? It's kind of like a Swiss Army knife of women's pleasure.
I like it. I believe sex is a culinary thing. You involve the ingredients, the tools, the things made available to you, okay? We don't live in 1800. We don't have to simply rely on what God gave us.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You shouldn't just make ramen every time, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you should maybe make some mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And put a little paprika in there, maybe.
Get busy.
Willa by Trojan Condoms. You come first. Get your hands on the Willa collection now, available exclusively at your local Target or online at Target.com.
Yeah, you're literally going to come first.
All right. I think that out of all the shit that we've talked this episode about other people and all this shit that we've talked about shit talking,
mm-hmm.
I think you nailed it. You said, what did you say? You said,
I said, if you don't have something nice to say, be prepared to back that shit up. That's all it is.
Right. Because there are scenarios where it is necessary, you know?
Yeah.
For example, like if you're dunking on someone over something they can't fix, like an overbite or a weak chin or a hilarious lisp. No, those are bad.
Yeah.
You should not say it in those cases.
Yeah.
Hilarious lisp. Don't make fun of that, how funny that
is. No.
But if you need to drop truth bombs on a friend to prevent them from making an unforced error like a Deathly Hallows lower back tat, then that's ultimately a good thing.
Yeah. People need that shit. You know, when you change your outfit, you change your style, or you want to try something new, you're like, hey, man, I want to do white river rafting. You're like, why?
Rafting's awesome.
That's what this whole episode is about, is me to convince you to stop rafting.
You've never been whitewater rafting?
No. What the fuck?
It's fucking awesome, dude. What is bad about that? Tell me that.
First of all, the fit is trash, okay? I will never dress up like a boat buoy, ever. Okay? There's no way you can look cool or good whitewater rafting, and that's what it's about for me.
You can't really look that cool if your life is truly in danger. You know what I'm saying? You have to wear protective shit like that because you might die, and that's fucking extreme and cool.
I'll give you that, but it's also like, you run the risk of several clips of you, you know. You also don't know in a scary situation like that, like what kind of sounds you're going to make. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like
yeah,
you're being so vulnerable. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You don't know if you're going to moan fucking weird. Like, white water rafting will bring the bitch out of you so quick. There are some very tough guys that could go white water rafting and they'll get... And people have that forever, so...
Going over a waterfall.
Yeah. So you have to protect your friends.
Who was that?
From, you know, who was that? There are no women on this kayak. Who did that?
Oh, yeah.
As we're careening down a fucking 15-foot waterfall.
I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, my fuck. You have to protect your friends from stuff like that. That's why it's, you know.
No, I agree. I agree. I disagree with you about white water rafting. I think it's cool and dope and good.
Yeah, whatever.
But I don't want to live in a world where you can't shame a friend out of wearing Crocs or becoming a Scientologist.
Yeah.
We're all too concerned with hurting each other's feelings, and that's how you wind up with a white friend with dreadlocks.
That, see, that part, Cody, what, let's be real.
That's why I'm,
what are you doing?
I'm growing it out. That's why I'm growing it out.
Let's stop you now. Let's knock it off early, okay? He just got the one baby lock up front. What do you mean?
What do you mean? Tuck it.
Yeah,
tuck it,
I don't know.
Ear.
I got this in the Bahamas. It's like a thing they do there.
It's a braid.
It was at the resort.
Mexico.
I didn't, you know.
They had it's sort of like a riffraff sort of thing. It's not a real. But you remember when Justin Bieber had a couple dreadlocks, right?
That was totally fine.
That was fine. We could have two. completely unrelated to the whole if you don't have anything nice to say discussion we've been having, what's the worst advice you've ever received personally?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think anyone who was encouraging me to go to college.
Yeah.
But let me qualify that. Them thinking that I would just magically become more focused in college. It was like in high school, I was dece. You know, I ended up dece, but it was like, come on, who are we kidding here?
Mm.
And the fact that so many people were willing to just be like, dude, you're going to do great. They were lying to me. They were completely lying to me.
College is going to set you straight.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be way easier to get yourself on his schedule. It's like, no.
No, what? Yeah, no. So I'm just saying, in retrospect, it was shit advice. I listened to it and it ended up good. So it ended up being good advice, but you know.
So you're glad you went.
I'm glad I went. Does that answer it or should I?
That answers it. I'm always worried about college advice because I just feel like it's such a crapshoot. Half the people say, I'm glad I went to college. Half the people say, I wish I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know when impressionable high school students listen to this and are going to be like, well, should I not go? Should I go? I don't know. Do whatever the fuck you feel in your gut, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of any other just like clean cut shit advice. Oh, here's one. So I liked some girl in high school and she was way more popping than I was. And I had friends like, you should talk to her. Let's go talk to her. I bombed that terribly. That was probably the... It was so bad that she threw me a bone some weeks later. She talked to me and I froze again. And it was like, okay. Okay. And she's like, I did my charity work.
Oh, damn. I have almost the exact same situation. Freshman year of college. There are moments like this that...
You never let it go. You're like... Mm.
You never let it go, but also I remember it so distinctly because it just made things clear in my mind as to like where I stood.
Oh, yeah. Physically, socially?
Socially, physically. This is freshman year of college, right? So you're coming from a completely different social hierarchy where you have found your place. I mean, a lot of people don't in high school, but I luckily did, right? I had a great group of friends and I was like one of the popular kids, at least, you know, at least with people that I considered who were popular.
Which is easy because in Calgary, you know, there's only like 40 people at the school.
That's what I'm saying. You have to take it into perspective.
Is if like, you have a frisbee and a fucking bobsled, you're definitely...
Yeah. A couple Huskies, people respect you. A couple good deer skins, people like you. I mean, that's all it takes.
If your dad lets you bring flint to start fire at school,
yeah,
you're the man.
Yeah, you're the fucking
Anyways,
man.
Continue. So you're in college.
That's what I'm saying, right? From my perspective, I was doing great. I was doing great. Yeah. And so I came to college way overconfident. I didn't know, like, fraternities and all this stuff. It's a whole new playing field, you know, with 1,000 players instead of 50 in Calgary. And so we're at this party, and I'm like, I'm going to go just dance with that girl because she's super hot. It's like one of the hottest girls I've ever seen. I'm just going to go dance with her. And like, because that's what I would have done in Calgary. And I go do that, and she goes, ew. Fucking leave. Just leaves. Like, walks away. And I was like, oh, fuck. I'm a nobody. I'm average looking. I'm short. Damn. That was a huge moment in my life. I remember that.
You know, that's like all those times you got measured as a kid, it escaped you. And yeah, they all just hit you right there in succession. Yeah. Like every time you went to the doctor, she was like, ew. Wow, Cody, you're 5'6". You're growing. Oh, you're 5'6". Well, Cody, that's at 5'8". We're going to cap out at 5'8".
No, but they're always like positive about it, you know?
Yeah.
5'8". Oh. Wow. Great. I mean, wow, you're right at the top of the bell curve. Fantastic job, young man. And you're like, thanks. And your mom's like, you're just getting flashbacks every time your mom said, you're so handsome. You're so handsome. You're so handsome. You're so handsome.
And that's when you start crying and you're like, I want my mom. On the dance floor. Asking for your mom on the dance floor.
All right, let's do you want to do a lightning round?
Sure.
So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you two people of note. You have to tell me who you'd rather take advice from, okay?
Oh, okay. All right.
You have to take advice from one of them.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready.
Suge Knight or M. Night Shyamalan?
Ooh, fucking hell, man. Well, with my directing path, I think I'm about as good as M. Night, so I think, you know, just bad nonsense media. So I think it'd be in my best interest to take advice from him.
Gigi Hadid or Elizabeth Warren?
Well, Liz got her ass beat in the campaign trail. So if I'm, you know, I don't fuck with losers. So, you know, I'm gonna go with Gigi Hadid.
And Gigi Hadid, I mean, she's only ever won, I'm pretty sure.
I'm gonna get burned at the stake for that one. Liz, she got her ass kicked, man. Gigi.
Tub Girl or one of the Lemon Party guys?
Fucking hell. Tub Girl, because that is the freakiest shit ever. And I just have to know what her fucking, you know, her appetite is. How did she get all that shit out of her ass? That is crazy.
Jesus or the Girl Defined Girls?
I'm going Jesus.
Lil Dicky or Lil Wayne?
I think I'm going to go Wayne.
Do you like it a Lil Wayne, this Lil Dicky is in your mouth?
You've been waiting, huh?
No, I just saw that one and I was like, oh my God, this is fucking perfect.
That's a good one, man. That's a bar. You fuck with Cashmere?
Cashmere?
Cashmere these nuts in your face.
My buddy was like, what did you guys vote on Prop 4 or something like that? We're like, what's Prop 4? And it was like, you can prop this 4-inch dick in your mouth. Okay. All right, dude. We've already talked about the worst advice you've received, but before you take off, what is the worst advice you've ever given?
Oh, the worst one that I've gone on record with is fuck his best friend. You know,
right.
I've encountered a lot of distraught women in over Twitch. You know, oh, this guy, now he's crawling back to me, and I don't know. I say fuck his best friend. You know,
right?
Make him feel it.
Yeah,
fuck his best friend, and never let him get a chance ever again.
But you're saying that's bad advice.
It's kind of bad advice. I'm promoting like a toxic lifestyle, and it doesn't really acknowledge the hurt. You know what I mean? It's just pure vengeance.
It's good advice if you're 14 and horny.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not good advice if you're an adult. It's terrible advice.
Exactly. Well, guys, I think that's going to do it for this episode.
Wow.
I want to thank you, Noel Miller, for joining us. Of course, bro. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, even though you've kind of underperformed. And the tone of your voice is bad, and it kind of sounds like one long, sad moan.
Yeah, well, you know, I do what I can, man.
I'm just demonstrating the way we'd talk to each other if we didn't believe what we just said. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure, yeah. Nah, man, thanks. I want to thank you for bringing me on the show so I can continue to stare at your big-ass face and try to figure out how it's possible for your face to keep getting bigger.
It's so much brain. It's just leaking into my face. That's what it is. My brain. Listen, you want to plug anything? You got a new EP out. It's called
Push. You know, Push. I got a little music project out there.
And of course, don't you have a podcast?
Yeah, I'm on a podcast with this guy.
Okay.
and you know, patreon.com/tinymeatgang if you're there ever so inclined. You can always also get it for free if you want to listen to shit on YouTube. But you know, if you enjoyed this episode, you come see us do this every week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you. I don't know. This is the last episode of the season. So I hope you like the season. And Noel, thanks for being here for the last episode of the season.
Of course.
I appreciate you guys. And thanks for listening to The Pleasure Is Ours.
Thanks for having me on, bro.
Yeah, no problem. Peace, bro.
Hey, man. You having trouble with life? Well, let me give you some advice.
The Pleasure Is Ours is a production of iHeartRadio and Trojan Brand, hosted by me, Cody Ko. The podcast is executive produced by Ethan Fixell, produced and written by Jonathan Grimm, written by Dave Adut, and engineered, edited, and mixed by Matt Stillo. Our theme song was composed by me, Cody Ko, with additional music by Brad Kemp at Second Bedroom Studio. If you haven't already subscribed, rated, or reviewed The Pleasure Is Ours, please do so on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, baby. Thanks again for tuning in to The Pleasure Is Ours, presented by Trojan Brand Condoms. That's a wrap for our episode, and also, you should be wrapping it up in the bedroom. I'm talking, of course, about your penis. You know, when you're out there doing your thing, you gotta be safe, and you gotta get a condom that works for you. If you ever hear a guy complaining about condoms, it's likely because he's been uncomfortable using the wrong fit. He probably doesn't even know that Trojan has over 30 different size and shape varieties to solve all condom fit issues. So pick up a box of Trojan condoms wherever you get your condoms, and maybe even a second box that you've been wanting to try out. Look at you, you fucking sex lord. Go for it, buddy. See you next time.